Nanda Maharaj begins speaking to Uddhava after he has been greeted very warmly by Nanda Maharaj and fed despite the misery of their own separation from Krishna, their ecstatic misery. So in the next verses, verses 16 through 26, Nanda Maharaj is going to say what he's been thinking. My dear most fortunate one, does the son of Sura farewell now that he is free and has rejoined his children and other relatives? I'll read all the verses and then we'll, of Nanda's words, and then we'll go over them one by one. Fortunately, because of his own sins, the sinful Kamsa has been killed, along with all his brothers. He always hated the saintly and righteous Yadus. Does Krishna remember us? Does he remember his mother and his friends and well-wishers? Does he remember the cowherds and their village of Braja, of which he is the master? Does he remember the cows, Vrindavan Forest and Govanan Hill? Will Govinda return even once to see his family? If he ever does, we may then glance upon his beautiful face with its beautiful eyes, nose, and smile. We were saved from the forest fire, the wind and rain, the bull and serpent demons, from all such insurmountable deadly dangers by that very great soul, Krishna. As we remember the wonderful deeds Krishna performed, his playful sidelong glances, his smiles and his words, O Uddhava, we forget all our material engagements. When we see the places where Mukunda enjoyed his sporting pastimes, the rivers, hills and forests, and the forests he decorated with his feet, our minds become totally absorbed in him. In my opinion, Krishna and Balaram must be two exalted demigods who have come to this planet to fulfill some great mission of the demigods, such as was foretold by Gauga Rishi. After all, Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa, who was as strong as 10,000 elephants, as well as the wrestlers Tenora and Mastika and the elephants Kuvalayapita. They killed them all sportingly, as easily as a lion disposes of small animals. With the ease of a royal elephant breaking a stick, Krishna broke a powerful giant bow 3 talas long. He also held a mountain aloft for 7 days with just one hand. Here in Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram easily destroyed demons like Palamba, Danuka, Arista, Chinavarta, and Baka, who had themselves both defeated demigods and other demons. That's what Nanda Maharaj said. The heart of it, in one sense, is his questions about Krishna, his heartfelt questions about Krishna. And will we ever see his smiling face again? Does he remember us? Does he remember Vrindavan? Does he remember his mother? Does he remember Giriraj Govardhan Hill? Does he remember us at all? Will he one day return? Can I see him even again, even once, his smile, his sidelong glance, his beauty? And then remembering how Krishna saved and protected the residents of Vrindavan again and again in different circumstances. So we'll now read these verses with the comments of our acharyas. First, 16. My dear most fortunate one, does the son of Sura fare well? Who is the son of Sura? Vasudeva. Now that he is free, he's no longer imprisoned, and has rejoined his children and other relatives. Vishnu of Chakravarti Thakur says, short comment. Fearing that if he asked about Krishna, his throat would choke up and tears would come to his eye, Nanda first asked about the welfare of Vasudeva. Vasudeva was now freed from Kamsa's prison and all sorts of dangers. 17. Fortunately, because of his own sins, it wasn't Krishna that actually killed him, his own sins killed him. The sinful Kamsa has been killed, along with all his brothers. He always hated the saintly and righteous Yadus. Does Krishna remember us? Does he remember his mother and his friends and well-wishers? Does he remember the cowherds and their village of Braja, of which he is the master? Does he remember the cows, Vrindavan forests, and Govardhan hills? Comment of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Short comment. Then, with tears in his eyes, because in that first verse he asked about the son of Sura, about Vasudev, because he feared that tears would come to his eyes. But now, he can't help himself and he asks about Krishna because it is Krishna that is filling his mind. And soon as he does, Vishnu says, tears do come to his eyes. So with tears in his eyes and a choked voice, Nanda Maharaj inquired about Krishna. Pointing with his forefinger, he said, just see the unfortunate condition of Krishna's mother. Just see how Braja, whose very soul and master was Krishna, is now deprived of a master and is devoid of all beauty. So this is clearly not the Braja that Uddhava first saw when he came in, because for some time Krishna allowed Uddhava the view of uppercut Braja while Krishna is present and coming home, and the beauty of Braja and the auspiciousness of Braja. But now Braja is devoid of all beauty, and just look at the condition of Mother Yasoda. 19. And what's the cause of this? Braja is deprived of its master and devoid of beauty because of that. It has no reason to give forth its flowers because Krishna is not there. 19. Will Govinda return even once to see his family? If he ever does, we may then glance upon his beautiful face with its beautiful eyes, nose, and smile. 19. Comment by Vishwanath. I'll read the purport. Now that Krishna had become a prince in the great city of Mathura, Nanda had lost hope that he would come back to live in the simple cowherd village of Vrindavan. But he hoped against hope that Krishna would come back at least once to visit the simple cowherd folks who had raised him from birth. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, by saying, will he come? Nanda Maharaj implies, O Uddhav, perhaps you know the intention of Krishna's mind. What is in Krishna's mind? Uddhava said, yes, I'm sure Krishna will come to console you and he'll stay here again, permanently. Nanda Maharaj, forget about Krishna's coming back here to remain permanently. I beg only to see him. Will Govinda not come just once to see his own family members who are suffering in the blazing fire of separation and are about to die either today or tomorrow? If Govinda does return, then he can receive and enjoy millions of cows, gold, coins, pearls, diamonds and other jewels, silver and gold plates, varieties of garments, ornaments, sandalwood paste, agaru scent and kunkum, as well as many other household objects. If we too, his parents, die, then who else will have a right to all these things? So Krishna should come. He should take them. Certainly a person should reside where the things he desires are found. Uddhav, why are you talking like this? You should know that Govinda is just about to come. Intolerant of the delay, Nanda Maharaj said, when will I be able to see Krishna's face, which surpasses the beauty of a million moons, and his incomparable nose, his nectar-sweet smile, and his long lotus petal eyes? Now that our lives are about to end, may we see Krishna just once and then die. Thus Nanda Maharaj expresses his extreme anxiety. Eagerness, what was that called? Ukanta. Extreme eagerness and anxiety. And these people, Krishna's mother and father and the Braja Gopikas, they cannot see Krishna even though he is there in separation, because their separation is strongest. 20. We were saved from the forest by immediately thinking about Krishna and his pastimes. We were saved from the forest fire. Where was that? Two of them. Mandirvan and the other? Kaliyaga, Davanalakund. There. This area here. We were saved from the fire. And they were just remembering continuously all how Krishna, because they're thinking, Krishna saved us in so many ways, why can't he save us from this forest fire of that is burning us right now? The forest fire, this is the easiest one for him to save us from. He can just return. He has that within his power. The wind and rain, Govardhan, or we could say Trinavarta, the bull and serpent demons, bull of course there's Aristasura, serpent Kaliya, and from all such insurmountable deadly dangers, we were saved by that very great soul, Krishna. Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Uddhava said, but you will not die. You will live a long time, raising your son with affection. Nanda Maharaj replied, unlike before, we will not be saved from the hands of death. In saying this, Nanda recounted the previous threats of death. Krishna saved us from the forest fire and Indra's torrential rains because of his natural affection for us. Why is he not saving us now from this terrible fire of separation? I cannot understand this. 21. As we remember his wonderful deeds, Krishna performed, his playful sidelong glances, his smile and his words, O Uddhava, we forget all our material engagements. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Uddhava said, just remembering Krishna's moon-like face produces an intoxicating nectar that removes all kinds of distress. So don't worry so much about him coming back. Just remember his beautiful face that removes all kinds of distress, that remembrance. To this, Nanda Maharaj replied, that is true. But even though recollection, remembrance of Krishna removes all suffering, now, because of our ill fortune, our misfortune, our bad luck, whatever that remembrance of Krishna's face creates still more suffering. Whenever we remember Krishna, we lose all interest in material activities. Only by the force of habit do we continue to bathe, eat, drink, and perform other daily activities. In such a state, we cannot remain alive. So the essence of this one, he's saying, Uddhava said, why don't you just remember Krishna and his beautiful smiling face? And to this Nanda Maharaj says, that causes us still more suffering. Because whenever we remember Krishna, we lose all interest in everything. And just we're living just by habit, practically speaking. 22. When we see the places where Mukunda enjoyed his sporting pastimes, the rivers, the hills, and forests that he decorated with his feet, when we see these, our minds become totally absorbed in him. 22. If this is the case, Uddhava replying, if just remembering Krishna's face causes you trouble, I can understand that by staying in the house, you're remembering Krishna too much, because the house is the place where Krishna was all the time. Therefore, to give up dwelling on him, you should go outside, wander along the shore of the Yamuna, and tend your cows. Anticipating such a suggestion, Nanda Maharaj explains here how even this would be unfavorable. On seeing the rivers, forests, and other places where Krishna performed his pastimes, our minds become absorbed in Krishna. Thus we remember Krishna more, and the pain of separation increases. 23. In my opinion, Krishna and Balaram must be two exalted demigods who have come to this planet to fulfill some great mission of the demigods, such as foretold by Gauga Rishi. So these verses of Gauga Muni's from chapter 8, they come up so many times. They're the reference point, because Krishna does such wonderful things in Vrindavan. So they're wondering, how is it possible that he's done these wonderful things, because he's just a cowherd boy. So they always refer back to the words of Gauga Muni that explain what Krishna's nature was from the time of his birth. I'll read those verses again. First one. Your son Krishna, first in one verse he glorifies Balaram, giving him the name of Bala, Rama, and Shankarshan. And then about Krishna. Your son Krishna appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow. And now, he has appeared in a blackish color, in the color of Shuka, a parrot. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appears as Ramachandra, in the color of Shuka, a parrot. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. To increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd men of Gokul, this child will always act auspiciously for you. And by his grace only, you will surpass all difficulties. O Nanda Maharaj, as recorded in history, when there was an irregular, incapable government, Indra having been dethroned and people being harassed and disturbed by thieves, this child appeared in order to protect the people and to enable them to flourish. And he curbed the rogues and thieves. Demons, asuras, cannot harm the demigods who always have Lord Vishnu on their side. Similarly, any person or group attached to Krishna is extremely fortunate. Because such persons are very much affectionate towards Krishna, they cannot be defeated by demons like the associates of Kamsa, or even by the internal enemy, the senses. In conclusion, Tasmad Nandatmajo Yamte, O Nanda Maharaj, Nandatmajo, the child of yours, this boy who is born of you, Nanda Maharaj, he is as good as Narayan, Narayana Samoganai, in his transcendental qualities, opulence, name, fame, and influence. He is exactly like Narayan. You should all raise this child very carefully and cautiously. Gopayasva Samahita. Those were the words of Gauga Muni. So, Nanda Maharaj says that in my opinion, this is 23 again, Krishna and Balaram must be two exalted demigods who have come to this planet to fulfill some great mission of the demigods. Such was foretold by Garga Rishi. After all, Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa. Whoops, we should read purport of Vishnuvarta, text 23. Short one. By the sudden recollection of Krishna as the Lord, in contrast to his natural mood of affection and separation, Nanda speaks with a sense of discrimination in this verse. It was due to the good fortune of me and of Vasudev that they became our sons and appeared in my house. Krishna and Balaram have come to benefit the demigods by killing Kamsa and other demons. This is accordance to the prophetic words of Garga Rishi. After all, text 24, Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa, who is as strong as 10,000 elephants, as well as the restless Chanur and Mastika, and the elephant Kuvalayapita. They killed them all sportingly, as easily as a lion disposes of smaller animals. 24. Nanda means to say, not only did Garga Muni declare that these boys are divine, but just see what they have done. Everyone is talking about it. In fact, everyone talked about nothing other than what Krishna was doing. Why don't we do that? Did you ever wonder, ask that question? You know, you're raising your hand to explain why? Why? Why is it that we don't just absorb our mind in Krishna and thinking about Krishna and talking about Krishna?
Because we have mentioned
it. We have?
We haven't
mentioned
it.
A what?
We have not met him yet.
But Rukmini never met him, and still just by hearing about him, she became fully attracted and fell in love with him and thought about nothing else. No attachment. I've met him, no attachment to him, but we're attached to so many other things. What else?
We're very lazy.
And misguided and unlucky.
Misguided, and our mind is
and
disturbed.
Always disturbed, especially my mind is disturbed. Why else?
Many desires.
So many desires. So what is the cure?
To hear more about him.
Continue.
Shravanam Kirtan. And speak his glories. Because when one is chanting and hearing, if one is actually, there's that famous story from perhaps Padma Purana that glorifies the Bhagavatam. Where am I? Who was it? Gokarna was. He heard the Bhagavatam, and amongst other people, he was in a difficult. Or there was a ghost. Maybe it was Gokarna in one of his births. He was a ghost, and there was a Bhagavad Gita, and he heard it. He was hearing the Bhagavatam, and suddenly, he heard it. He assumed a forearm form and went to Vaikuntha. And everyone could understand that he had done this. Just by hearing the Bhagavatam. Just by hearing the Bhagavatam, he assumed a spiritual body and went to the spiritual world. So everyone else who was there was wondering, well, he was listening to the Bhagavatam and he went back to Vaikuntha, but we're also listening to the Bhagavatam. Why is it that we didn't also go back to Vaikuntha? And then the answer was given that he listened attentively. With rapt attention. He was hearing it actually. Because just like, say if I can look at the Sanskrit. I can't even read it properly. Yeah, see. So I could say if I'm reading Sanskrit from the Devanagari or something like that, or from the English transliteration, or even Italian or French or something. Or I can't even claim to do that in Cyrillic Russian or anything. But I can read it. So that's one kind of reading. I can read the characters, and I can make the sounds, something like the sounds.
But there's no understanding. And another kind of reading is you read with understanding. You can understand what the words mean, but you don't really think deeply about it. What to speak of, become very involved. The whole self, the intelligence, the everything, the feelings, everything involved in hearing about Krishna. That's another kind of reading, the full application of one's subtle and gross body in the process of hearing. So that's the full active, the whole consciousness is actively absorbed in hearing about Krishna. It's alive. And if we're fully absorbed, that's rapt attention, and certainly our result is far different than if we're just superficially on the surface hearing or reading. Everyone is talking about it. Just see what they have done. They know Krishna was real, was actually there. They saw him. They saw, they caught the glance of his sidelong glance, his beauty. They were captivated by the fragrance of Krishna. Isn't that amazing? That when the electricity goes off, the anxiety level just immediately drops. So just imagine what goes on, what our life is like. Between the mobile phones and electricity and the power lines and
we don't even know what we're really like anymore, practically. So everyone is talking about Krishna, about everything that he done. It's not only Gaga Muni is saying the glories of Krishna, because that's Braja. Everyone talks and thinks about Krishna. 25. With the ease of a royal elephant breaking a stick, Krishna broke a powerful giant bow 3 talas long. He also held a mountain aloft for 7 days with just one hand. Purport. According to Acharya Vishwanatha, tal, or palm tree, is a measurement of 60 hastas, or 90 feet. Thus the great bow Krishna broke was 270 feet long. So what's the distance? How far is 270 feet from here to where? Past maybe at least to the Goshala part over there where the cows are, I would say.
To the path.
Hmm?
To the path.
Yeah? So it's quite far. And a bow that was thick, and Krishna broke it, so powerful. What to speak of him holding up a mountain for 7 days with one hand. He's so powerful. Here in Vrindavan, Krishna and Balaram easily destroyed demons like Pralamba, Danuka, Arista, Trinavarta, and Baka, who had themselves defeated both demigods and other demons. And then Sukadev Goswami continues. And these few verses here, these two verses describe what Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda were like, because we haven't heard anything about Yasoda Mayi. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus intensely remembering Krishna again and again, Nanda Maharaj, his mind completely attached to the Lord, felt extreme anxiety and fell silent, overcome by the strength of his love. As Mother Yasoda heard the descriptions of her son's activities, she poured out her tears and milk flowed from her breast out of love. So Nanda Maharaj became stunned, and Mother Yasoda just cried and cried and cried. From what? Just remembering Krishna, and that he wasn't present amongst them, although he was present amongst them, but he wasn't present amongst them. So 27, we'll read the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And 28 as well. So Nanda Maharaj was stunned. extreme anxiety. He could not speak after speaking about Krishna and how wonderful Krishna was and what he had done. His love just made him silent. Purport. Comment by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Becoming completely attached to Krishna by remembering the Lord's majesty, his Aishwarya, Nanda Maharaj thought, "Oh, by my misfortune, I have been separated from my son, who is the ocean of powerful qualities." So it's not that,
and this will come out later in the final verses, which are, in one sense, the most important verses in this chapter. Or especially the comment by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is so important near the end. But this shows the power of Nanda Maharaj's love. It is not that the residents of Vrindavan don't know anything about the Aishwarya or the power or potency of Krishna. They see it all the time. He saves them. He kills this demon. They couldn't avoid it. He held up Govardhan Hill. He killed Pralambasura, but he killed who?
Bakasura.
Trinavata, Vatsasura. So many asuras he killed. Putana when he was just a baby. Trinavata. Sakatasura. So they know Krishna's potency. And Gaugarishi also said it. But the speciality, and again, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur will explain this later on in this chapter, that the speciality of the love of Nanda and Yashoda is no matter how much they are aware of Krishna's power. They were even aware of he's taken many births and he incarnated to protect the demigods. Gaugarishi had said it, they accepted it. But nothing, no awareness could diminish their maternal and fraternal love for Krishna. Couldn't diminish the feeling that I am Krishna's mother, I am Krishna's father. He is ours, our village boy. And he's so naughty. And if we don't feed him, what will happen to him? Things like that. No matter how much they were aware of his opulence, that feeling could not diminish. This is the power of the Braja Prem. And then Vishwanath will give the example that we well know when Vasudev and Devaki, glorious as they are, became aware of Krishna's Aishwarya, then they became very reverent. And they couldn't think of him with the loving mood of a parent. Because how could they? And this was one of the reasons that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gave, that if Krishna was manifest both in Mathura and Vrindavan, they would be aware of it and they wouldn't think of Krishna exclusively as their own, Nanda and Yasoda, and the residents of Vrindavan. And they would be aware of it and they'd say, "Oh, Krishna must be, he's doing these both things, he's in both places, how is this possible? He must be, would have interfered." But the reality is nothing can interfere with the strength of their love. It is so powerful it controls Krishna. That's how powerful it is. So it's so unique, this loving intimacy that they have. So Nanda Maharaj fell silent. His love was expressed in his silence, his anxiety, his being stunned, Mother Yasoda crying, and the giving of milk from her breast. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, becoming completely attached to Krishna by remembering the Lord's majesty, Nanda Maharaj thought, "Oh, by misfortune, I have been separated from my son, who is the ocean of powerful qualities." Nanda's attachment to Krishna was such that even in appreciating Krishna's great powers, as the Lord, his personal relationship with Krishna did not weaken as it did with Vasudeva. So here he's mentioning it also. Nanda's mind remained attached to Krishna with undiminishing firmness in his specific relationship with Krishna
as my son. My son has so much power. My son has so much power. My son is so beautiful. So his my sonness, that feeling does not diminish at all. Firmly fixed in this. This is his sthayibhav. With his mind attracted to Krishna in this way, Nanda Maharaj became overcome by the sway of paternal affection. Prema, prasada, vivala. In the presence of the supreme prema of Nanda, who like Agastya swallowed the whole ocean, what is the significance of a whole ocean of opulence of Aishwarya? Nanda Maharaj's prema overwhelmed the Aishwarya and would not diminish by it. And Mother Yasoda. Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment, having thus controlled himself by the strength of his gravity, was now able to honor Uddhava properly as a guest, to look at him directly, to recognize him, to inquire about his well-being, and to speak about Krishna's godly qualities. Krishna's mother Yasoda, however, who was drowning in the whirlpool of the ocean of unsteadiness, could not offer any hospitality to Uddhava. This is expressed in this verse. From the very day that Krishna had left for Mathura, tears fell continuously from Yasoda's eyes and milk dripped from her breasts. Even though she was being counseled by hundreds of women and men, Yasoda would just say, I don't want to see anything except the face of my son. At every moment, Yasoda kept her eyes closed. She wouldn't open her eyes because she didn't want to see anything. Her eyes were useless as long as she could not see the face of her son. Her eyes were always closed. She kept her eyes closed and she cried constantly, drenching her clothing. Thus she could not recognize Uddhava, treat him with parental affection, ask him any questions, or give him any message for her son. Her breast flowed profusely with milk out of affection for her son. Payodhara also means cloud. Yasoda was like a cloud showering the rain of tears and milk. So Uddhava is seeing this, because Nanda Maharaj, he was in ecstasy. When he saw Uddhava remembering Krishna, he was in separation and ecstasy. But then he greeted him, he fed him, he was able to keep his, he controlled himself due to his gravity, but Mother Yasoda couldn't at all. Well, Uddhava is watching this, and he's never seen anything like this before, even though he's been associating with the exalted Vishnis and these exalted devotees in Mathura. And later on, he will see the exalted devotees in Dwarka. But he will never see anything to match the love of the Brajabasis for Krishna. So he is amazed. He is astounded. He's shocked by it. So then, text 29. And then Uddhava, and then starting in the next verse, in the next 14 verses, 30 to 43, he will speak his words. So Nanda Maharaj has spoken, Yasoda has not said anything. Why? She can't stop crying. She doesn't open her eyes. She doesn't know he's there. Uddhava is even there, practically speaking. So Uddhava then joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj, having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction he and Yasoda felt for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is Uddhava's emotion? Okay, but what is the emotion that's specifically mentioned in this verse? Huh? He's joyful. Mudha, Uddhava, mudha. Seeing this parama, anurag, this amazing attraction for Krishna, the anurag, affection for Krishna that Nanda Maharaj has, Uddhava he experienced this parama, he experienced this mula, Uddhava experienced
joy. So this is one point to show that if they were actually suffering, as it appears that Nanda and Yasoda are suffering, and Uddhava loving them, because he loves Krishna, and he loved Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, and he's such a gentleman and so expert, why would he be feeling joy? Why would he be experiencing joy if they were in fact suffering? But all love for Krishna causes ecstasy. But we can only read into the emotions that we see with our own consciousness. And if our consciousness has only experienced material, on the material level, this type of emotion, then naturally we will see it as suffering, because in the material world, the world of duality, such a thing would be suffering. But in the spiritual realm, as experienced by Nanda Maharaj and the gopis and Yasoda, they're experiencing the highest ecstasy, because it's the parama anurag, because it's fully based on their loving relationship with Krishna, affection, the deepest affection for Krishna. So this is one example to show smuda. This is one example to show
that actually it was ecstasy they were experiencing, even though externally it takes the form of most intense suffering. And we have to understand this very deeply, otherwise we will maintain a fear of Braja in its subtle ways. It doesn't look like much fun. All everyone does is just cry over there. And even when Krishna is present, the only ones who seem to have a good time are the coward boys. You can play with Krishna all day, and then everyone's just crying. The gopis are crying, Mother Yasoda is crying, Nanda Maharaj is crying, missing Krishna all the time. So we have to enter this and understand it on all levels,
according to our capacity, of course.
So, 29. Uddhava joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj, having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction he and Yasoda felt for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Short purport. If Uddhava had seen Nanda and Yasoda actually suffering, he would not have reacted with joy. But in fact, all emotions on the spiritual platform are transcendental bliss. But the mind doesn't like to, because it doesn't have so much experience of this level, we can accept it intellectually with our intelligence. Yes, it must be. But the mind still will maintain fear unless we have more deep spiritual experiences. The so-called anguish of the pure devotee is another form of loving ecstasy. This was clearly seen by Uddhava, and thus he spoke as follows. Read Srila Jiva Goswami on this point. Short comment. With joy, Uddhava says, "Oh, my good fortune that I've beheld this sight." He's seeing the ecstasy of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj and thinking this is his greatest fortune. Such an idea is implied by his exhibition of joy. He did not rather exhibit unhappiness at seeing their unhappiness, because for Uddhava, the opulent aspect of Krishna's manifestation was predominant. The opulent aspect of even his parents' affection for him was manifest to him, and not the aspect of their anxiety. So he saw their affection, not their anxiety, by Krishna's arrangement. After all, if he experienced this aspect of anxiety, he would not be capable of pacifying them, which was the service he was given, to console them, to make pacify means to make peaceful. And their minds, their consciousness is anything but peaceful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, comments on text 29. Although Uddhava was already familiar with high levels of prema, now he clearly observed Nanda and Yasoda's intense loving attraction for Krishna. Seeing that both in quantity and quality their love was superior to that of Vasudeva and Devaki, Uddhava became filled with bliss, and he thought, now my life has become successful, having seen such love. Thus, Uddhava was joyful, even at seeing their anguish, which was actually another form of loving ecstasy. Okay. We can see that means... Any questions or comments at this point?
Just a comment. Earlier you said that Uddhava is very intelligent, very good friend of Krishna.
That was the first verse.
But he lacks prema. So now he says he doesn't have practical prema.
Doesn't lack prema. He's a prema bhakti. Right.
So
but this braja prema. This is something different than the prema that he knows on a different level. Yes?
So now he's practically seeing everything.
He's getting some instruction. Yes, so that was your comment. He's seeing it. And in the next chapter, the pitch is going to even get higher. He's going to see the Braja Gopikas. They become mad in a different way, especially he's even going to experience the Srimati Radharani's ecstasies of all the different dalpas, chitra dalpas. She goes completely mad.
When did Uddhava go to Vrindavan? After how many period of time, how many years?
There's this, that comes later. Doesn't it? It comes, it appears that when Krishna returned from Gurukul, he went, he was sent. So how long was he in Gurukula? 60 days? 2 months? So it seems after a few months.
Because Krishna shifted from Mathura to Dwarka. So when this... But he came from the
Mathura.
From Mathura.
Because Krishna hadn't built, he builds in chapter 50, he builds the Dwarka, the fort in Dwarka. From Mathura, after Jarasandha attacks. So this is before that.
Uddha was born and brought up in Mathura.
Seems. Something. Maybe some of the other devotees know more of the details on this. What you had some sequence.
About the return from Vrindavan?
No, maybe it wasn't about this, it was about the return.
Vrindavan?
No. Deva Bhagya, his father was Deva Bhagya, who was Vasudeva's brother. So, Vasudev came from this area only.
It is mentioned that he was attached to Krishna's pastimes in the childhood. He used to play with that doll. So, also it is mentioned he is similar age. So, how to correlate this?
What do you mean? Why couldn't he be a similar age?
How can he know what is Krishna's pastime?
But everyone in Mathura seems to know. When Krishna enters in, they talk about how Krishna did this, how Krishna did that. Even they seem to know about his playing with the gopis.
But he's of Krishna's age.
So? You think, why would that stop him from knowing what Krishna was doing? I don't see how it would necessarily stop him from knowing what Krishna was doing. Because
Aborigines women or fruit seller women, they're talking about Krishna's pastimes in Mathura, because they're wandering all around, they're selling fruits. So they are talking with all ladies about Krishna's pastimes. So somehow they distributed all these Krishna's pastimes from Vrindavan to Mathura, so everybody knew what Krishna did.
Without the internet even. Amazing,
better
huh?
Than internet.
Because they were so attractive. And everyone hated Kamsa so much.
Even Sisipala knows because he's in the inward. Negatively, he's also meditating by the name of Krishna. Sisipala is younger than Krishna.
Yes, Sisipala also was talking in the Rajasuya. He says, Krishna did this and Krishna did that. Who cares? But you know how it is in a small village? Everyone, they just talk. We talk about everyone's business. Everyone knows everyone else's everything. But this was wonderful. This tendency was there, but because Krishna was there, everyone was simply enwrapped in, and they were just looking forward to seeing him so much. So it seems like Uddhava was one of the members of the family, of the dynasty. And Krishna made very quick friendship with him because they looked so similar. And he was so intelligent. Any other questions or comments?
Actually, yeah. About Balaram, because he wanted to send message to Gopis, so he don't want to send to Balaram, that's why he didn't send Balaram. He may consult parents, but Gopis he cannot.
Yeah. Another reason.
So Uddhava already got the Sarupya Mukti, so he was he was Jivan Mukta, he was liberated soul, because he resembled Krishna's body completely, even this color of his body, you know, because even Yashoda Mayi and Nanda Maharaj and Gopis, they were bewildered, they were thinking Krishna came back.
And he would wear Krishna's cloth.
Yes. And he gets only peacock feather, but everything was same like Krishna. So he got Sarupya Mukti. He already liberated.
I doubt it. I think he's already liberated. He's also. This is what he eternally looks like, so he can perform. Because it looks like it describes how Yasoda's name was also Devaki. And Devaki's name was also Devaki. So having that in similarity, they were naturally friends. So similarly, Krishna looked, or Uddhava looked so much like Krishna. And they were, because why did he look like Krishna? Because he was just looking at from the family point of view, that he was the
cousin.
He was the son of Vasudeva's brother, Devavagya. So naturally the cousins have some more similarity. So that made them naturally intimate and close in friendship.
It's not only Mataji mentioned. Said,
what did she say?
She said two lectures back, 2 days before. She said that seems that Uddhava, he was a liberated soul, Jivan Mukta. He was a Jivan Mukta.
Yeah. I've never seen that written. Did she have a Shastic reference for that? Yeah, so I don't know of one certainly, because these very intimate roles and relationship with Krishna are usually not performed by jivas. They're all Krishna's energies. And
so
Uddhava
was very close to Krishna, because when Krishna was going to leave planet, only Uddhava and Maitreya Muni can meet him, and nobody else can. See Krishna at this point when he was a living planet, so only Uddhava and then Maitreya Muni, only he disclosed all this what's going on, talk only to them. So it means that they are the most closest his associates.
Maitreya Muni?
No, Maitreya Muni, Uddhava. Maitreya Muni just.
He was the best of the dynasty. He's the topmost, the most intimate relationship with Krishna. Because of this, because Krishna allowed him to see the. So this is the indication and the proof of his intimacy and relationship with Krishna.
because he sent him to Gopis, the most intimate service.
No, it's just natural. You don't. Because Krishna needed someone to talk about this, these things with, and only Rohini had seen Vraja. No one else.
So he didn't deliver from Balaram because maybe he was feeling Balaram as a brother. He was shy.
Well, that's part of certainly part of the relationship with Balaram. Balaram is Dao, his older brother.
Yeah.
So older brother has Vatsalya Ras.
But so Balaram knew his relationship with Gopis. Like,
but still, but you don't show.
Mm-hmm. But I don't understand exactly which Gopas were still with Krishna at that point. Was Madhuganga there?
Oh, there's something mentioned that he... I don't think so.
Everyone else went back with Nanda Maharaj.
I've never seen it directly mentioned anywhere. Or maybe it said something about Mara Mangala will come up later. But
yeah, they mentioned in the previous chapter.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But there's no other mention of that I've seen anywhere.
Why do you use the term cousin brother? In the West tradition, it was cousin, but
Usually cousin brother means the extended family, but here it would be just cousin in our usual English usage, because it gives an indication of the intimacy. Do you have cousins? Do you treat them like brothers? No, because when you have a big joint family and everyone's sort of living together, all the children grow up together, and you practically speaking have no distinction between your father's brother's children and your father's own children. There's no distinction in affection made. So to show that there's more intimacy than just a cousin, the term is used, cousin brother. That's because it's just like a no difference from your own brother. Do you have a brother? Close with him? It's different social structure. So they use that term. Any other questions or comments?
After killing of Kamsa, these Vrishni Bojas, they are coming from different places and set to Madhura. But that's why they are very keen in seeing when Krishna will come and kill Kamsa. They know all the pastimes, they are watching from the different places. Still they are watching what is happening.
Yeah.
Then Krishna will be one demon, another demon, another demon.
Yeah,
will come to Krishna. That's why it's very famous. This message is going always there. Something hearing about him.
But did they know that it was Krishna who was going to be the one killing? But Kamsa didn't exactly know until Narada told him.
Because they're hiding from different places, because they're waiting, just waiting to come back to their place.
Yeah. They're waiting for that eighth son. Any other questions or comments?
With respect to the coming, the misery of Braj, or apparent misery, is actually blissful. In the Nirvana devotee, experience the difference between material life when it comes to the movement, starts doing the same things, maybe. The same anxiety and feelings are not there. So we do get a glimpse of it's like spiritual anxiety. Well, not necessarily spiritual anxiety, we're trying to get spiritual anxiety, but the more we depend on Krishna, it seems to be that the anxiety is not there. So we get a glimpse when we practice even now.
Yeah, right. Something like that. But the difference is that here there are specific emotions. And what you're saying is that those emotions won't exist for a devotee. When they say, if you're, those emotions might not exist for a devotee. different anxieties you don't experience. You're saying the same kind of anxieties. Who's going to take care of me? This, that. She just surrendered to Krishna. So you don't experience that. But the Brijbasis did experience that. Missing people, missing their son. And Uddhava's going to say this. He says that, he says if Nanda Maharaj, if Krishna were just a material person, and Nanda Maharaj was expressing so much sentiment for him, I could console them by preaching to him spiritual knowledge. But this is something completely different. So what happens when we first start chanting, say, is that there is a relief from all so many material attachments. And therefore we lose a lot of the material emotions. But this is a full blossomed, the person's full spiritual emotions are being expressed and experienced, all in relationship to Krishna. But I think, yes, there's something in what you said. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Prakash Leela came to the end, and actually Krishna enters, and all the Vrijavasis entered into Aprakat Leela. So simultaneously goes two Leelas, Aprakat and Prakat.
Well, Prakat winds up.
But Nanda Maharaj in Prakat Leela, he goes back from Mathura to Vrindavan without Krishna and Balaram. And in Aprakat Leela, he takes Balaram and Krishna with him. And they joyfully come back to Vrindavan. So Gopis experiencing only 2 days separation in Aprakat Leela, only 2 days separation with Krishna. And he comes back to Vrindavan and they again started joyfully communication with each
other. That Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that in the book you read yesterday.
But,
and what did they do for those 2 days?
They're crying, they're stunned.
And just chanting Krishna.
But at the same time, I'm just wondering, who is actually real? The two Nanda Maharajas, two Yashodas, two set of Vrijavasis. And about Krishna is okay. He's Vasudeva in Mathura and Shyamasundar in Vrindavan. These different Krishnas, it's a different mood. But about Vrijavasis,
Explained that. He gave the example of when Krishna was married all the queens in Dwarka. Did you also explain that part?
No?
Yeah, well, it's in the same comment by Vishwanath. That they're all expansion, they're all the same Krishna.
Yeah.
So if you find that hard to understand, and you're looking for the original, it's no wonder that you find it hard to understand. But yet they were all the same Krishna. It wasn't that one was lesser. But actually it does say that the original Krishna is always with Srimati Radharani. But just think of it in the simplest way. Just think of it, they're all the same. They're both the same. Both leelas are duplicate, the same. Krishna can do that.
And only Shyamasundara in the form of Krishna in Vrindavana, he completely expresses him. So this is distinguishing him from Vasudeva Krishna. Because
but this is a difference. See, this is described in teachings to Sanatana Goswami, the different, the Prabhav, the Vaibhav, the different expansions of Krishna. Some are direct expansions, like the queens in Dwarka. So he's explaining it in that way, and there's no difference.
So this Aprakat Leela is still going on in Vrindavan. And those exalted devotees like Raghunanda Swami, he was sitting on the bank of Radhakrishna, and he can experience, or Rupa Goswami, they can enter into those leelas for some time, so, and do some activities, and again can come back to Prakat lila where they get a feeling separation from Krishna. So even the devotees can experience just entering the Prakat lila and coming back to Prakat.
There's three different states of consciousness.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
One is where you're. Yeah, Mahaprabhu expressed this, and also Raghunath Das Goswami expressed it. Where you're, one is where you're outside of that lila,
yes,
and then missing it, feeling separation. The second is you're half and half.
Mm-hmm.
And third is when you're completely involved in that. It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also in the words of Raghunath Das Goswami.
So when a person...
But this is very advanced. And we are little still.
Yeah. But those just, interesting, those who completely experience...
And we can't, attain it just through understanding. We have to have bhakti.
Yes.
Any other? Okay. So why don't we call it a day? We shall, Krishna willing, complete the chapter tomorrow. And it's so interesting, actually, that because usually, as I've mentioned before, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, it goes from, it'll talk about Leela, and Krishna will perform something, and then it will go talk about Krishna's Aishwarya and some prayers, or someone will offer prayers that shows how Krishna is, who Krishna is. But this is the one place that I've found where both are in one chapter, because Nanda Maharaj is just talking about Leela, but Uddhava is going to talk on it, on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead level, all in one. So you see both side by side, and then it's almost as if there is a fight between them, which consciousness is going to win. And of course, and that's the wonderful purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We see that because Uddhava is going to, for the purpose of consoling Nanda Maharaj, he's trying to convince him of a different way of looking at things, and he's going to be a failure completely. Because Nanda Maharaj's praying is so strong. So that's tomorrow. Okay?
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Uddhava ki jai, Nanda Maharaj ki jai, Aprakat Leela ki jai, Bhoma Vrindavan ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.